Right, welcome to the new 52 Review Podcast. I'm here with my man, Eric Shea.
That's
How
me.
You doing? Yes, that is you. And we're here to talk about
Who are you? Legion are you of Jim Super.
I'm not telling anybody. That's a secret. I want to go with the name of No Name Lad. That's what I'm going for this, because we're talking about the Legion of Superheroes, Eric.
And I'm going to call you Bouncing Boy.
Yeah, really. Everything Eater Lad. That's what I am. I'll tell you right now, this is going to be a rough one. Strap yourselves in, because it will be rough.
I have never felt more unprepared for a podcast in my life than having to read this goddamn Legion something. I know.
Now, and just a little background of our background with the Legion of Superheroes. We have none.
No,
we really don't.
I'm telling you, I may have been reading comics most of my life, Jim, but Legion of Superheroes was never what I actually wanted to read. Like, I maybe got some issues here and there growing up. Never cared about them, never wanted to care about them. And here we are, jumping into the new 52 with the Legion of Superheroes. And what did they do? They didn't make it a jumping off point.
No, it was not a reboot. And the problem being is, if you are a fan of the Legion of Superheroes, which, like, a Reggie is, you will know all these characters, so you're kind of on, you know, you're one step ahead, or probably actually about 3 miles ahead, because this book is going to go and introduce, and not reintroduce, and not even introduce, it's just going to continue the story. I told you, of characters in the first issue that are there, or at least mention in passing, there's like over 30 characters. And you can tell that at least editorial knew there was some issue, because at least every time a character shows up throughout this whole trade, you will get a placard with their name, their home planet.
Which I do appreciate.
I do appreciate it as well. The problem is, you can tell that they rely on that a little too much, even with the powers. You're not going to get anything like, hey, Invisible Boy, what's your power? They just go with it. It's funny, too, because that's like, I read the placard, Invisible Boy, powers, invisibility. Oh, okay. Yeah. But some are kind of funny. The thing that I had before reading this, and even years ago when we first started our podcast in sight, when I first heard of the Legion of Superheroes, basically, I think that a lot of people probably laugh at it as well, is hearing any character with lad or lass connected. So I would sit there and talk to you and say, really? That's the characters? Because I'd hear other podcasts talk about them and things like that. And I just, it made me laugh, because I had so little connection and so little knowledge about them that forever I thought Matter Eater Lad was Matter Eating Lad. And I thought that he, you know, and stuff like that. So I had no idea. So with this Legion of Superheroes Volume 1, I really, really wish that they would have went back. I understand there is a huge history of the Legion, and you have all this. Now, in the meantime, there was a sister book to this, Legion Lost, that we'll discuss very little in passing. We'll have that down the line. But the idea of continuing the run, I look, the sales of the actual Legion's books were not great. I mean, this is why they had the New 52 reboot, because most of sales of all the books were down. So starting up the New 52, most people were jumping on when me and you jumped on. My reason was because things were starting off new, and you'd learn. If I actually would have been interested in the Legion of Superheroes, there's no way I would have ever went past issue one. There is no possible way. I went back and read a lot of people's reviews. Ange from the Supergirl Comic Box Commentary is a guy that we trust and actually respect in reviews. He's a huge Legion of Superheroes fan. So I actually went back and read a bunch of his reviews. And even he was jumping back and forth between liking it because it was a continuation, and then not liking it because a lot of people were not learning about it. And if you are a fan of the Legion, you'll have two types of people. You're going to have the people who are like, screw these newcomers. I just want what I want. Yeah, I'm in.
Thank God Legion didn't go with this whole New 52 route and ruin everything.
And then you have the others who were fans, are like, it's a shame because I really think that they're not getting any new readers. They're not getting the fun. I do too. I want to be a fan so much of this book. It really intrigues me now that we've been doing this for this long. This sort of thing, this sort of Silver Age type, you know, fun and goofiness and things, I do tend to try to, you know, get drawn to.
Yeah.
Not here. And again, if you are a huge fan of the Legion of Superheroes, you're not going to get much from us. We're going to explain this book as best we can for people
probably
like
not
us.
Very well.
Well, people like us who don't have a lot of background and are going into this like every other New 52 book. If you went into it, you know, with a clean slate and wanting to learn, and I did do some research, but not tons. Actually, well, I was doing so much research at first, and then I actually was like, you know what? No, that's not the concept really of this. This is to go back
jumping
and read
in
a trade.
To the New 52 to see how it was, just you know, going forward and being reintroduced or just introduced to the characters.
Yeah.
And like I said, never a fan of the idea of Legion growing up because there was just so many characters and I didn't quite understand it. This did not make me want to, you know, continue reading. Like, okay, here we are. My first jumping on point for Legion of Superheroes, and I don't ever want to see them again. You know what, Saturn Girl? Stay in Arkham Asylum. I don't want to
really
deal with
this. And if you go into this right
so
now,
fun.
And you're like,
Saturn Girl is one of the
one
characters
panel.
That I did know.
Yeah.
Heard Lightning Lad. I'm like, where are they at?
One
like,
panel.
One
they're
panel.
In one issue, one panel, and then they're gone. Basically, they've retired.
Yeah.
Like, really? That's
fuck
what we
me.
Get? Oh, yeah, yeah. Here it is. Legion of Superheroes, Volume 1, Hostile World. As part of the acclaimed DC Comics New 52 event of September 2011, the Legion of Superheroes has been decimated by the worst disaster in its history. Now the students of the Legion Academy must rise to the challenge of helping the team rebuild. But a threat of almost unstoppable power is rising at the edge of Dominator space. And if the new recruits fail, the Legion espionage squad may be the first casualties in a war that could split worlds in half. And this does collect the new Legion of Superheroes number 1-7. Now, we'll get into this whole deal in a couple minutes after I get the credits, but right there from there, already you can tell it's not a reboot. This was not a reboot. It was a continuation of a book that pretty much ended a month before this. It was just to, you know, keep the ball rolling. But it's written by Paul Levitz. Art, for the most part, by Francis Portella. There is one issue that he does not do art. Javier Mena and Pat Brousseau. The first issue came out on September 21st, 2011, and the trade came out June 27th. 2012. And yeah, really what they're going with for this is that Flashpoint happened, and really they're in the future, obviously. We know that. And the Flashpoint made it so that they could not get in contact with, you know, the DCU that's going on, and specifically Superman. They cannot get in contact with him. Now, in the meantime, some of the Legion was on Earth during that point, and they're stuck there. That's the Legion Lost book that kind of, it comes in. But the weird thing about this is, as they say in this, and what I read earlier was the, you know, the blurb, the solicit for the trade. Where I think that they really fell off, where Paul Levitz kind of dropped the ball for the most part is, I wish that we would have known through the placards who was a new recruit and who wasn't, and what the deal is when they join. Like, at least have a page, a panel with each character that is a new member to try to kind of get them, you know, for us to know. Because I go into this, and when we start off, you do have this Legion espionage squad that they fully spell out in the solicit. They don't really spell it out in the book, but you kind of get the idea. And you have two characters that are pretty new. They have just come from the Academy. They're part of the Legion now. You don't really get that much. You do get a little from dialogue, but I don't know the connections of any of these characters. There's nothing for me to even get any sort of character moments here. It's so crazy.
And it's even weird, you know, we had these new characters, Dragon Wing and Chemical Kid. They're like, they're just sort of to the espionage
squad.
They
saying,
have no idea what they're doing. I'm like, that
and
doesn't seem like solid planning.
And even on the way, why aren't they going down? Because they do. They go to the planet, and we'll get into it fully in 2 seconds. But they don't even have a, like, hey, you know, there's very little of the, that's what it means to be a Legionnaire, buddy. But that's later. Right here, they should say, hey, I know that you're this. They just barely mention, like, oh, you're new, so you do this, but I just wanted to know more about these characters. Now, by the end, you start to learn a tiny bit more of these two new characters, but they are the new characters that seem to be the focus of this book, at least this trade. And Paul Levitz, I think, should have gone the route of us learning about the other characters
through
these two new ones.
Instead, I agree.
Instead, it's almost like that omnipotent, like, narration where you're just jumping back and forth, back and forth. You never have a grounded point where you stick with these two characters because they're new. And then, like, all of a sudden they run into, say, Shadow Lass. And then through them, we learn about Shadow Lass. Instead, you get the placard and then fucking go away.
And move on.
By the time this first issue even went, it took me like three times reading the first issue to actually continue on with the rest for this podcast. It's really tough. But I'm just going to, before we start fully, I'm just going to read a little bit. This may be confusing. I just wanted to read a little bit of what happened right before this trade started to kind of get us on. And the Legion of Superheroes was relaunched in September 2011 with issue number one. Simultaneously, DC Comics canceled Adventure Comics and replaced it with a new volume of Legion Lost. While Legion of Superheroes continued the adventures of the team from the title's previous volume, Legion Lost featured Wildfire, Dawnstar. We don't have to get into that, but the Legion Lost characters are stranded in the 21st century and going. But the era of Legion's publications concluded with issue number 23 in August of 2013. That ends this with 23. But the whole deal was the entire Legion was remobilized to battle Infinitus and the six-issue Infinitus Saga later. It's all a mess. But basically, all that this is, I just wanted to show it continues from before. And I've just confused myself. I'm telling you, I actually thought I had grabbed the blurb that actually spelled out more about what happened at the end. But I'm telling you, you jump in and we'll get right into it. I don't even know why I'm confusing myself. And you do have this whole deal with out of nowhere. You have this kind of, you know, the squad going down and you're introduced to these characters and they are just thrown at you and you are above the planet Panoptis. And Panoptis is, and it's kind of a funny
military watch world, keeping an eye on the Dominator's empire.
And if you know in Greek mythology, Panoptis is the many-eyed guy or god. So it's kind of funny the way they throw that out. But yeah, it's actually keeping control and keeping watch on Dominator space, things like that. But again, if you're just jumping in and you don't know about Dominators.
Dominators, Legion, Panoptis,
Daxum. If you don't know what a Daxumite is, Durlins, you are so lost here. But yeah, you start off, you have Phantom Girl, you got Ultra Boy, Chemical Kid, Chameleon Kid. You have all these characters. Chameleon Boy, Dragon Wing. So they are there and they're going to figure out what's going on because they lost contact with this watch world. And when they go, it's funny because you have some seasoned legionnaires here, but you also have Chemical Kid and Dragon Wing who are kind of new. So they're there to go and see what's going on undercover, which you do have them go undercover. Chameleon Boy ends up, you know, looking like a military guy. They kind of get in their little military garb to kind of blend in. But then they send Dragon Wing and Chemical Kid off to pretend that they crash landed. And the weird thing is it doesn't seem like anybody's been alerted to anything that's happened here.
Like, even when they come in, like, okay, we landed in quietly. Yes. We should be under the radar now. I'm like, all right, so just go off into the woods and, you know, make some noise, make out, do your thing. So hopefully you distract the guards so we can sneak in.
Yeah. And it's so weird because it doesn't even seem like they need that, but they go off. And you don't
it's
get
like
a lot
all
of...
I'm telling you, why play your hand at all? Just the whole thing, too. They see Legionnaire rings on these motherfuckers. They see the way they're dressed. It's like, you know, these are not normal people.
No, it's just so weird. But they go off. And then in the meantime, you jump back out into space where you're introduced to Colossal Boy, who ended up quitting. He ended up quitting the Legionnaires. He quit the Legion of Superheroes and went back to being a science policeman. And that is only there. Like, if you don't know this, this is just there. And that's it. You really don't see him. So he's there and he's also upset. And they kind of allude to, you really fucked up that last time you were out there. And
I made
some
careless mistakes in my last Legion mission and was lucky I didn't get hurt badly. And then when luck ran out for my wife and the others, well, that was enough. I'm like, well, thank you, Colossal Boy.
Yes,
thank you.
And
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And see you in never. And with this, they do have the thing. Gim doesn't know the half of it, but you will if you pick up Legion Lost. And that's only because Chameleon Girl is his wife, and she is in that. Now, just as a last time, it probably won't be the last, but the Legion Lost book, they ended up disappearing. I told you, they got caught on our in our time after Flashpoint also had a disease that if they went back, they'd cause
a pathogen
trouble, things like
and
that.
Shit.
Yeah. They assume that they are dead. They are assuming that all of those characters that got lost, in Legion Lost are dead at this moment.
Well, they can't make contact back then. It doesn't seem like they can time travel. There's a flashpoint bubble that is stopping them from time travel. So this whole thing, like, right there, the whole idea of the Flashpoint, you know, it just rebooted everything from what we had. We have the Legion characters in the future who know that this happened. There's some kind of flashpoint event that has happened that has stopped them. This is the most interesting part of the book in my mind.
Yeah, and you don't get
Brainy
much of it.
Sitting, Brainiac 5 sitting around talking about it, working on it. We never really get much further than that. He argues with Mon-El about who should be the leader of the Legions now. Him working on this, and that's just like spread out throughout this first 7 issues, and we never really get anything about him. Like, God damn it, that was the coolest part of this. Yeah. Tell me what you know about the Flashpoint.
And it's funny because Brainiac 5, through this whole volume, he's trying to figure out what cut us off, why I can't time travel, things like that. Nobody else seems that concerned. They all just sit there and like, my wife's dead. Oh, my boyfriend's dead. Oh, this guy's dead. They just assume that they're even putting up statues of lost legionnaires and the ones who died and the ones they think they're dead. But
it's easier to make statues and figure out what's going on.
That's right. They're not going to figure out. But goodbye, Colossal Boy. And then you go back on Panoptes and you do have the team going and you have Chameleon Kid. He's there and he's going to end up, he transforms into like a wasp or a mosquito. It's a bug, a fly.
Some kind of bug, yeah.
Yeah, and he goes in and he does this again later for no apparent reason. When we get to that, it's just ridiculous. But he goes in to try to figure out what's going on. He kind of gets swatted away, but he figures out, at least through one little bit, that there's somebody called Renegade. Something called Renegade that seems to be doing this whole deal of shutting down, the planet
and deal with
the Dominators. And this is what it ends up being, a Dominator story from here on out. But then you go back to Earth, the Legion headquarters, and I'm telling you, you go back and forth.
Mon-El and Brainiac 5.
Yeah, and there's Mon-El. There's Mon-El and Brainiac 5. And we talked about it. Mon-El's my favorite. And if you're going to have, they're not able to contact Superman and things like that, Mon-El is the next best thing. He is a Daxamite who's pretty much Superman for the Legion. And I like him. And I even went back. He's one of the guys I went back to check out his past. And he has a long past with Superman, including that his name Mon-El was given by Superboy. And it's so funny. Superboy found him because what happened? Mon-El went to Krypton. And right before Krypton got destroyed, Jor-El gave him a map to Earth. So he went off to go to Earth. He ended up in stasis. He had amnesia. He ended up on Earth. Superboy found him. And since he found him on a Monday, he combined Mon and then the House of El and called him Mon-El. At one point later on in the deal, Superboy was convinced that he might be his long lost brother. There's a lot of stories with Mon-El that I really
got. Mon-El is like one of the most, favorite, like I'm trying to say, the most, I can't even think of the word I want now because it's got to the most popular character in the Legion because he even shows up in the Supergirl TV show right now.
Yeah, and Mon-El, he has like 8 trillion names, one being Marvel Boy, which made me laugh. And the big thing to know going through here, which they only hint at points, and then it becomes a big thing, being a Dax, a Daxamite. He has lead poisoning. He cannot deal with heavy metals, Eric, including Judas Priest. But so what happened is for him to get around, Brainiac 5 has actually given him a serum that allows him to, it fights that lead poisoning or else he would die. It's kind of a silly thing. You have
It's the sister planet of Krypton. Krypton, The kryptonite is their weakness. Over on Daxam, it's a lead. So, going to Earth with like all this lead-based shit everywhere, it's a problem. So you need to have the serum.
A very big problem.
Because that's the big thing right now is where Daxam is kind of quarantined because they can't leave because how much lead is prevalent in the universe, it seems. So you can't leave because you're going to die.
Yeah, And with that, that becomes very big. Once Renegade, who is a Daxamite, who has these weird ideas, he thinks that Daxam is being held hostage. It's a prison world, when indeed they are quarantined for their own good. Now, again, you do have the idea that Brainiac 5 does have a serum that he's given to Mon-El. Yeah. You wonder why they don't end up mass producing the serum and maybe helping all of them. But that's
It's cool that you have, you know, a Daxamite on the team. I like one of my favorite like characters of the Green Lantern Corps back in the day was Sodom Yat, who was a Daxamite, and he was also he was given the entity of the like the Green Lanterns, the Ion entity. So not only was he like a Superman based kind of character, he also had the most powerful Green Lantern. Like, it was the coolest character at the time in my mind. But no, having him here, I'm like, these are cool characters. You give a planet this goddamn serum, there's not going to be such good guys going around. So you're going to have Superman-based goddamn people going around causing havoc everywhere.
That is why. It's just because of story. Now, in the meantime, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, because he does even throw it out there as well, Mon-El himself was a Green Lantern at one point, which is pretty cool. And he just mentions it briefly when he's like, "Ooh, yeah, my time with the Green Lantern, kind of weird jumping back and forth between." And it's so weird because the way he spells it out in this, I thought that he had like a split entity even, but it was no, he just had two teams. But yeah, you go, and the big thing about Brainiac 5 and Mon-El, like you said, is that they're kind of at a little bit of an argument about who should be leading the Legion
from how they're going.
Yeah, and it's funny because through this whole thing, you never really, in my mind, get the idea that Mon-El even cares. And then by the end, he really doesn't. And
all
just
right,
says,
take it, man.
And it's so funny. He does say, just take it, but we'll have a vote. But yeah, it goes on like Brainiac 5 at points even comes off as a little evil. The way he is kind of, you know, wanting to do all this and be the leader. But as this is going on, you have the main story. Like, you have this team down on Panoptes. Why not stick with that? I know that you want to reintroduce these characters, but do it a little more slowly because you turn the page from this and you have probably 17 new characters out of nowhere just there. And they're kind of talking about things that happen. You have Element Lad, Cosmic Boy, Dream Girl, Comic Queen. I mean, all of these people just thrown in there, and I'm like, holy crap. And
the
they're
thing
trying
is, you know, I even forgot about the whole mention of Mon-El being a Green Lantern, because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, I don't remember that at all. So I had to quick look it up. It's like, I'm looking at all this shit that went down that actually deals with stuff in this. It's all the post-Infinite Crisis Legion kind of thing.
It is,
you know, Brainiac 5 creates the serum. He, like, you know, he becomes a Green Lantern, like, after the final crisis kind of shit. Like, it's all pretty, you know, close to where we are right now, where all the shit that we're dealing with. It's within the past 5 years, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm telling you, in this page, you do have a couple placards, but that's not even half the people that show up on this page. And it's just so that Mon-El's like, I don't know. You know what? I don't know if we, or no, actually, it's Cosmic Boy's like, hey, you think we should allow these Academy kids to get involved here? And I'm like, who are you talking about? Because I don't even know at this point. And then there's Mon-El's like, listen, we need it. We need new blood, Rock, because the active roll call is shorter than it's been in years. And then, you know, you have these weird questions being thrown out, and then you just go off from there. Two more of the talk
and
you have Mon-El
that,
talk about the Lantern deal.
I get confused when they bring in all these other recruits and shit like that.
God.
Like, you have Comic Queen and shit like that, because at one point, when they're talking about last round up like of Saturn Queen's crowd, I'm like, is Saturn Queen, is that Comic Queen? Like, what am I dealing
know.
With here?
Even here, you have like Lightning Lass that they don't even spell out. You have, you know, all these. You have, oh my, it's
Dream
it's so,
Girl, Element Lad, Comet, Cosmic Boy. I'm like, all right, I've heard some of these names.
And basically what they have all these, you know, you get these individual teams that kind of pop up here, and they're only spelling out the leaders. Like I said, Cosmic Boy has his four people there. You have Element Lad. The problem is, throughout this whole trade then, never really could wrap my head around these teams anyway.
No.
Because there's so many characters introduced, every time they're introduced, I am scrambling just to remember things. And I'll tell you, I will be messing up throughout this whole thing. I, you know, if I call Cosmic Boy Cosmic Lad at some point, forgive
Cosmic
me.
Kid.
There are 800 people in this. There is a story, though, behind this that I find somewhat interesting. The problem is Paul Levitz doesn't seem to want to go with it because the whole thing with the Dominators and this Renegade actually is okay. I just don't know why it didn't have three or four issues of just that. And because
that is our dominant story, but because we have so much going on in the background, it is a distraction from that.
It's hard
to
keep
going back
on
to the Dominator story, so you don't get enough of the background of what's going on at Legion headquarters to really wrap your head around what's going on.
It's tough. And really, so we are going to focus on the major deal. And in this, basically, the major deal is the Legion has been decimated. And with this, Brainiac 5 and Mono are kind of in a little bit of an argument of who should be the leader. And you get right away. I like when Brainiac 5 is just like, you know what? We should have a good sense. You should have a good sense to give up being leader, Mono. You know, I can handle things better. And as he walks away, Mono's just, Brainy, Brainy, Brainy. It's always about you. But even that, you never get into that much because then they get separated and things like that. But we go back to Panoptes and you have Chemical Kid and Dragon Wing sitting there. They build a fire, which they were told. They were told to go make themselves look like they were stranded and then build a fire to get some attention. The problem is, what has already happened with the team? They've already gone and figured out most of what they needed to figure out for the most
part. And even that, I don't remember the whole thing because out of nowhere they decide, you know what, fuck this. Let's just fight these guards. I'm like,
and that's
that was
what
never
happens.
Part of the plan.
No, it wasn't. And they even said later, like, holy crap, you know, it's good to think on your feet, but whatever. But yeah, they get captured by these people here. Now, these are, you know, they're soldiers here that their job is to do what, you know, to watch this Dominator space and do that. Later on, we find out that they kind of have been mind controlled, but there's never a real bit.
Well, I'm telling
that,
you, once Renegade shows up, I'm starting wondering, like, what was wrong with the soldiers? You know, like all of a sudden,
they were just doing their job.
I don't even know if they like knew they were out of communication.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because it's such an odd concept because we get so heavy in this Renegade character shows up who is a Daxamite who has been given this goddamn serum by the Dominators to make it so he doesn't have lead poisoning. He can be around. Yeah. He seems to be brainwashed with the whole idea. Yeah. I got to free Daxam from the rest of the universe is keeping them in quarantine prisoners and all this nonsense.
Yeah. And it's weird because they even show later that the way they gave him the serum, it involves freaking Dominator blood and stuff. It's so crazy. But at one point I'll point out where they're fighting Renegade, you see the soldiers are lined up and facing the other way. They're just standing there on this platform, and yet you never get a lot of idea of what's going on. But yeah, they get captured. Dragon Wing and Chemical Kid get captured, and then you go up again. Now you go back up into space, and I'm telling you, at some points, Paul Levitz will tell you where you're going. At other points, he doesn't, and you just end up in a lab. And I didn't know what
Star
was going
Boy.
On. Yeah, I'm like,
Glorith.
There's Glorith, Harmonia, and Starboy, and they're doing tests. It seems on
Starboy
Glorith.
Looks like he's a little old to be called himself a boy.
Yeah, he is. And Glorith is one of these new recruits. They're trying to figure her out. She reminds me. If you want to explain her, for some reason, she's the Raven of the Legion of Superheroes. That's all she is. And she has a way to shield things. They don't know where
energies.
She's from. And this actually is something that Brainiac 5 becomes interested in as well. But as they're going, you are introduced to my favorite, Starboy. Because Starboy, his powers are he can induce mass to increase weight. There you go. Yeah, I said, that's me every time I go to the buffet, I become Starboy. And it's so funny. And
I induce the
Dream
shit
Girl.
Out of my mass.
But yeah, all of this is just they're talking and trying to figure out, you know, glory.
All right,
and
I got this stuff.
Freaking,
you know, Dream Girl and Starboy. They're a couple. I got you. All right.
Yeah. Yep. And then from here, though, you do get more of this backstory deal, but not explained where Glorith is there. She seems very sensitive, is what Dream Girl, and Dream Girl can see the future. In her dreams. And that, but she can tell that something's wrong with Glorith. And what's wrong with Glorith is she just went through a massacre in the last volume before this started where OAA. I want to say Oa because of what, but ended up dying, saving the Academy. So right. She talks about that. But again, if you haven't read it, you just
nope,
go by.
I have no connection.
And she's just like, hey, I wish I could turn back that moment, make it as if it never happened. And Star Wars like, it doesn't work that way. You can't do that to fix time. But yeah, you find out in this basically that Dream Girl and fucking Star Boy are a couple. She calls him lover, and then you go back down to Panoptis. And I'm telling you, my head is spinning. They realize that the whole thing of watching the Dominators and things like that it is off, and they end up then where Dragonwing and Chemical Kid come in and they fight against these soldiers that have them, and it basically starts an entire fight with
this Legion
squad.
And then the rest of the espionage legionnaires show up to join the battle.
Telling you, I'm sorry if this is confusing, but yeah, they start fighting, and it's the Legion of Superheroes. Even if they do have two new recruits, you still have some heavy hitters here, and they are fighting these soldiers, so you think, okay, this is going to just be easy. All of a sudden, they get hit out of nowhere by a Daxamite, and they have no idea what's going on.
And I'm telling you, this whole thing, too, this last panel of this issue, I'm like, why is he a giant? It was very
confusing. He looks humongous.
At first, because when he's crashing through the wall, he looks like a giant. They're trying to make this whole like idea that they're seeing this happen, but for some reason, because they're below outside of a panel, it just looks like he's smashing behind them.
Yeah.
A giant.
And again, it's just this. It's a Daxamite. It's another Superman strength guy. Yeah. The weird thing about this is they even say out of nowhere, Panoptis is a planet full of heavy metals. Eric, he should not be able to survive.
No.
And they figure out later that he does have a serum very similar to what Mon-El has. Well, in this, you have this renegade who is the Daxamite. He just starts kicking ass. I mean, he is going. Chemical Kid and Dragonwing try to run away. They can't really do much.
And right now, the Ultra Boy, who is their heavy hitter on this group, he's out for the count.
Yeah, he's down for the count. And then even Chameleon Boy, who is a big deal as well, he just gets – they end up losing. They're pretty much lost. But at the last second, you have Phantom. She disappears. She becomes a ghost to hide.
I love that, too, because she just, like, she sinks down into the ground and just hangs out there. I'm going to wait this out. Fuck this.
Yeah. And she's going to wait it out. So they get captured. You go back to the Legion headquarters in the time lab now, Eric, and Brainiac 5 is trying to work on Glorith, trying to figure out exactly the capabilities of the shielding that she does. She seems to be able to shield people when she reacts emotionally. They don't – it's Raven.
But it doesn't make sense for anything that Brainiac 5 has ever dealt with the, science and shit like this. This whole magical component to the whole thing, it is throwing him off completely, and he cannot figure out how he can use this the way he wants to, because it doesn't go with any laws of physics that he has ever seen.
Yep. And with this, he even spells out to Dream Girl at one point where he says, listen, you may think that things are magic or whatever, but most can be explained scientifically. Even your powers can be there. You know, he gets with it, and it's really intriguing him. In the meantime, though, I'm thinking, the good stuff's happening down on Panoptis. Let's get back there, because we have a Daxamite who's kicking ass, and he does capture all of them. You have where Phantom Girl, she ends up being able to contact the Legion and tell them what's going on, and that means a Daxamite is there. That means Mon-El is being called into action, and I was pretty excited about that, because like I said, I do like Mon-El, and I will say right now, I think the art in this whole deal
great.
The art is so good, and when you have that picture of Mon-El flying, very Superman-esque, obviously, it's so good. But yeah, he goes off to see what's going on. Now, again, they even say where you have Brainiac 5 even thinks like, oh, there he goes, going off on his own again and being a jerk. And it's weird because he doesn't seem to lobby that much for the, to be able to do what he has to, but he is definitely. And again, it's Shadowless. I keep calling her Shadowgirl. I'm so off, but yeah, she ends up going, she ends up freeing them.
And while that's going on, Cosmic Boy is being sent to Daxam to try to figure out what's going on over there. If we have a Daxamite over here, you know, fucking things up.
Yeah, so you have Phantom Girl does that. You have Shadowless. You go off and see the team with Shadowless and Comet Queen. And it's just, again, you're just out of nowhere. They're in Shangala, the Graveyard of Heroes.
Shangala.
Yeah, Shangala. And you see Shadowless, who is looking at the screen where Kurt Nydrick is kind of has his memorial
old
of
Kurt.
Being dead. Oh, Kurt. And the weird thing with that is at one point Shadow Lass and Mon-El were married and they ended up breaking up and she ended up dating this Kurt Nydrick. So that's
kind
of a tie-in
for that. Apparently Kurt Nydrick died.
Yeah, so you go and then you get old Polar Boy and Comic Queen. And they're interesting.
One of my favorite characters in this. And this whole, he's just pretty much, you know, a future Iceman, if you just want to go that route, because, and he's really great, because especially was a Sunboy?
Yeah, Sunboy.
I don't even know. Sunboy and him, the whole
Polar Boy,
angle, and what he has going on with Comic Queen, that is the most interesting part. Yeah. Like, these characters are the ones I want to focus on, and we get a little bit of them, but not enough in my mind.
Not enough. Then we do go back to Panoptis, and you do have Renegade, and he is ordering these troops around. You don't really know why or how or whatever, but then out of nowhere, he's like, you know what? I got this little bit of a serum here. He shows it, but basically his whole thing is he thinks, and seems to be being controlled by the Dominators as well, but he thinks that Daxum is being held captive.
I don't know if it's controlled as much as, like, you know, he's been given bad information, is going hog wild with it.
Well, again, yeah, the Dominators have given him the serum so that he can function, and he basically thinks that the world or the universe deal, the government is keeping it from Daxum just to keep them on their planet, which it may be, you know?
Yeah, but, and I would as well.
Yeah, with this, you do have them, then a battle starts again, basically a battle, and you have Phantom Girl there, and she's like, oh, you know what, you can grab me, but you're not going to be able to hold me, and out of nowhere, you have Renegade pull out a gun that is able to contain her, but Mon-El shows up.
Yes,
and
they just
start beating
Phantom
the shit
Girl,
out of
you
each
are
other.
Useless.
Yeah, they start just beating the shit out of each other, and basically the whole thing that you're going to get here is Renegade is pissed because Mon-El and him are both from Daxum, and he thinks that, you know, you're a traitor to our people, and it's okay, you have a battle, it's two heavy hitters going at it, but really you go from there.
And then when Ultra Boy shows up and he starts doing the whole thing, and I like Ultra Boy because
Ultra Boy is finally my second favorite.
He's got a bunch of Superman like powers that he can only use one at a time, so he has to constantly keep switching back between super strength and invulnerability so he doesn't get his ass handed to him immediately and get killed. But him and Mon-El fighting this Renegade, I think it's cool as hell.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's really cool when they're fighting them. But yeah, you end up, and at this point, the Dominators show up. They're above the planet. They're going to invade.
We don't got enough going on. But
Dominators. So the Dominators are there, and they look awesome. But they're just there. They're going to do their Dominator thing. There really isn't much. The Dominators are there as the big bad. You have Renegade, but it's really the Dominators as supposedly this big bad. But yet they really don't do anything.
No, they hang out in their ships until they realize they're defeated. Then they back off.
Yeah, that's basically what happens, because as they're fighting, still fighting Renegade, you have Chameleon Boy goes up into the Dominator ship to see what's going on, while everybody else is going and basically using their powers to destroy the ships.
I think it's funny, too, because at the one point, when the Dominators show up, all hell is already broken loose in my mind, but for some reason the Dominators show up, that means we gotta get fucking all hands on deck, because apparently at this point, which I didn't even realize, Dragon Wing and Chemical Kid weren't even given Legion goddamn rings.
No,
rings.
They didn't have rings yet.
Phantom Girl just handed them out, and I'm like, you should have done this on your first got to Panoptis, or
even
maybe before
they
that,
in
helped. My mind.
Yeah, maybe they could have helped, and yeah, now you can fly and whatnot. But yeah, you just keep going. Now, while this is going on, you do get a lot of the other team is called. The whole deal with Polar Boy, Element Lad, Shadow Lass, Comet Queen, Sun Boy, they are all called and do show up on Panoptis as well. And you do have a thing where Renegade is taken down because Shadow Lass ends up making a Shadow Void. And then in the
meantime,
which
I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty cool. But yeah, while that is
the Mon-El, even the whole thing, like, you know, Shadow Lass shows up, she creates this goddamn black screen because she takes all light away from the air. Mon-El's like, I was married to her. I know how this works. I could, like, you know, function in the darkness. How about you?
Yeah, and then you have, probably at this point, while you have most of the Legion, you know, a large amount of them there, you do finally get a thing where each of them then, because of the Dominators, because of Renegade, they end up using their powers in a way that's a pretty cool comic book way of like, hey, I'll take care of this because I can do this. And you have Comet Queen, she's going around, she's making missiles chase her, and then they blow up. You have, you know, Polar Boy goes and ends up freezing some of the Dominator ships and things like that.
But because we don't have enough going on right now with all of this shit with Brainiac back doing all this stuff, we have, you know, Invisible Kid, Cosmic Boy, and Lightning Lass, and Shrinking Violet going off to Dax from to figure out what's going on over there.
Yeah, to
so we
figure
have
out.
To freaking stop this and go deal with the fucking Daxamites. I'm like, you're killing me, Paul Levitz. You're just fucking killing me.
Oh, my God, because then you have the whole deal where they've gotten word that this Renegade is a Daxamite. He's this,
he's
that,
got
and
a
the
serum.
Other thing.
Do they have serum?
He's got
oh
the
my
serum,
God.
And they think that. So they head off to Daxam to talk about that.
Fuck me.
That you keep jumping back and forth, and then you get the Dominators.
The idea behind this, the characters, the different abilities, the team angle, even the young angle of the whole thing being in the future – all of these are cool, adventurous concepts that I can
it's
get behind.
Not cool.
It is not being done properly here, and you're just killing my whole buzz
it's
for it.
It's killing me. And you go up, the Dominators look awesome. And it's funny, too. It's almost like a, should we prepare your ship at our moment of glory? Like it's like Star Wars at the end.
It is exactly. It's Grand Moff Tarkin.
It's Grand Moff. It made me laugh so much. But then out of nowhere, you see that one of these Dominators, because, and also, you find out later, pretty much, and you could guess, if a Dominator does not succeed, he's going to die. So why would you ever retreat? I don't even know why at the end he even does. There's no reason to. But while this is going on, you get this whole deal where you have this Dominators. They're all around. They're on the bridge. It's like a Star Trek-type bridge. And then all of a sudden, there's Chameleon Boy. And I guess this is supposed to show you that it's him. But the way the art is, it makes it seem like he's just walking up behind them. But it is him there. So
he has gotten onto the Dominator ship, and he has taken the form of a Dominator to see what's going on in this whole thing and why what they're up to and shit like that.
And again, if you just had the stuff that's going on Panoptis, I would be fully in, because you even have where Brainiac 5 now is at, you know, he's back on Earth at the Legion headquarters, but he's there working the, you know, the coordination of the team and things like that, and it's pretty cool. Like, this is what I want the thing to be, because he's trying to figure out. They're there just going with their abilities going on, and they're trying to figure out what to do, and that's where you have Brainiac 5 come up with the plan of oxygen, turning oxygen into a neutron, Eric, and that will end up stopping Renegade without killing him. I don't think that they spell it out enough here that they really don't want to kill him, because it seems like there's a lot of ways that they can kill him, but they don't want to. They want to capture him. But yeah, they use this oxygen, a neutron, and it's a team type deal. And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, at one point, Element Lad basically is just like, I'm just going to use whatever's in his blood and kill this motherfucker. Like, no. You can't really do that. But they end up, you go then, and then all of a sudden he's got these crazy goggles on. Like, they have captured Renegade. He is being captured, but we find out very quickly that they're not going to be able to hold him. And this is where I was saying, at parts of this fight, these soldiers that he seems to maybe be controlling are just standing around. Why didn't they join in the attack? It's very weird. But they're there, and he is basically throwing, you know, shade at them and saying, I can get out of this. You're not going to be able to hold me. And that's where Chemical Kid, he's like, or they go to Chemical Kid and say, you're up, buddy.
To stop him, Chemical Kid. Get
Element
in there.
Lad.
Like, I just got a ring 5 minutes ago, fucko. You leave me alone.
And also
I
with
even
this.
Had orientation yet.
I don't know, because I didn't look. You get the idea that there has been a little bit of Element Lad being a teacher to Chemical Kid. They do have somewhat of a similar power deal. So I think, and basically this turns into, to me, one of those where Element Lad could stop Renegade at any point, but he wants to teach a lesson to Chemical Kid. He's like, listen, you know, just relax. We're going to do this. You're going to stop him. My powers are going to stop him. That's right. We're going to do this here.
And it's so weird. He's incredibly powerful, but still fundamentally humanoid. Daxamites are similar to Kryptonians, a lot of human biochemistry with a few adaptive tweaks that make them dangerous, like converting solar energy to powers. I don't even know what I'm going with here. I just lost my place.
Yeah, but it's still biochemistry,
a series of reactions with the catalytic power that can affect.
Take a deep breath. Oh, I'm telling you, at the point where now Renegade breaks free of these, you know, restraints, and
it's
this is where
carbohydrate catabolism.
Element Lad says, all you have to do is slow down his carbohydrate catabolism, and since he's a Daxamite, phototropism too. Try visualize, and then he's like, try visualizing. It always helps me. And then you just have Renegade. Renegade is about to just destroy them. And that's when Ultra Boy and Mon-El come, grab off Chemical Kid, because he's about to get killed. But it turns around that he ends up saving the day. So you have this young guy who just came out of the academy, just got a flight ring 2 minutes ago, and he did save the day. But again, it was like a lesson. And this is where it made me laugh. This is the panel. You have Renegade
Trial
laying in
fire.
Rubble, and you look over, and all of these soldiers are standing in formation, like, looking the other way.
Am I supposed to imagine they're in handcuffs, just lined up?
No,
I don't know.
They're just standing there in a row.
In a formation.
I think they are in those handcuffs, but it's just like, where were they? They didn't even fight. But yeah, you go then and you have Chameleon Boy. He's in the Dominator spaceship at this point because they're still above the planet. And he is now going to try to get them to not be able to go. They are actually leaving. They're going to retreat, but they want a trick. They want to have the Legion follow them in a Dominator space so they can kill them. And in this, basically, Chameleon Boy is doing nothing. Because they're going to leave anyway. He's just trying to fuck around. And they have something. They have a alarm if there is a Legionnaire near. And somehow when Chameleon Boy goes from looking like a Dominator to a fly.
I have to imagine it's just like, if there's anything on this ship that's not a Dominator, the alarms go off. And
it's just so weird, though.
As a Dominator. He just walks past this lower cast of Dominator species.
Who are like, yes, sir, honored one.
Exactly, but as soon as their back is turned to him, he turns into a fly, sets off the alarms, like, why did you do that? Right when they're right there.
It didn't even work that great the first time.
No,
he didn't got swatted away. And he does that, and then how he solves the problem is just turning back into a Dominator again and leading him into, like, the engine room.
Why did you do it?
I don't know what happened. And then he gets out finally because they get attacked, but then you go to Daxam, and on Daxam you're just going to find out that Renegade was a student who disappeared, and the Daxamites don't even know what's going on, though they have fragments of kryptonite there. That's what would have been. It was such a weird thing.
Yeah, he was an off-world student that, you know, like, disappeared. How could he be an off-world student? He's a Daxamite. He has to stay here because of the lead poisoning. Oh, no, it was a virtual off-world
virtual
student.
Reality off-world. Oh. He was homeschooled, Eric, and he used virtual reality.
Cyber school.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, so they kind of explain
that.
It's weird. All that is for to me is to show that the Daxamites aren't bad. That they have no idea because they're actually on Daxam looking for this, like, almost like a quote unquote, like the Daxam Freedom Society, which they never find because it doesn't seem to be. Then you go, and that's where you go back to the Legion headquarters again, and Brainiac 5 has figured out something about Glorith, that her energy and her abilities have something to do with time travel. Basically, he yells, it's time. That's the element I didn't look at. And there you go, Eric. That's what you have.
Thank you, Brainiac.
Telling you, this is tough. The Dominators then get attacked by the rest of the Legion that was on the Panoptes. They go and realize that they do have to skedaddle. Mon-El tells him, basically, he's like Doctor Who. This is, you know, this is our universe. You get out. It's under my protection. Now leave. They do get Chameleon Boy out of there. They leave.
Some 11th hour shit right there.
Yeah, it is. It's very much like that. And then he watches. Mon-El just watches them as they leave, and they do leave. But yeah, at the last bit, this is a big part for people who are Legion fans and who have been reading, because Shadow last goes and actually talks to Mon-El, and they haven't talked in a very, very long time. So that's a big thing, but it doesn't really, in this trade, doesn't really come out.
It's good to have
anything.
You back and acting like yourself, too. It's been a long time. You have no idea how long, Shady. No idea.
No idea.
And
no.
I'm like, and not only does Shady
neither
not
do
know,
we.
I have no idea.
Shady? It makes me laugh because all I think of is LaShawn McCoy's nickname is Shady. I'm like, well, that's a guy's nickname. But yeah, Shady. But yeah, they go, and now you go into this one-shot issue, this weird side issue that comes next in this trade that they had Walter Simonson do the art for. And it really is just all these characters thrown in, and you get little bit of things. But I'm telling you, you get in here. I'm looking through Gravity Kid, Power Boy, Quizlet.
Shrinking Violet?
Oh, my God. You get all, you know, you get some of the ones that we have. This is actually the issue where if you did like Polar Boy and Sun Boy and things, you get a little bit of good interaction between those two.
Yes, you do. I'm telling you, this is the issue that actually made me really start liking the characters. And actually, that's one of the things. It's more of a day in the life of the Legion, which I think would have maybe been better to be suited for the first issue.
For the first issue.
I know they're dealing with some shit, but this one, actually, everything slowed down, and it gave me time to realize who these characters are, what they do, what their interactions are. I'm like, all right, I can deal with this because you're not throwing a million things at me all at once.
Yep. Yeah. And you have a deal where you get a little bit more of Glorith. You get a narration of her. She seems to be a bit darker in this. You kind of get the idea that there's more to her than you would know. You get introduced to these characters, Block and Black Witch, who seem to be very, in touch with her, at least, interested in her.
Block and Black Witch.
Yeah, Block and Black Witch. Invisible Kid shows up. He's there. And I really like the art in here, but really at the end of this issue, you're just getting these weird, interactions that are, it's really hard for me to even explain the stuff going. You continue Dragonwing and Chemical Kid being kind of these new guys. They have this weird connection. But you also go off to the Sorcerer's World, which you do have Block and Black Witch, and they're talking about Glorith. I'm telling you, I'm going through this, and I don't even know how to explain it. This is the why did we do this book, Eric?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, you get Phantom Girl, and basically
Phantom Girl and Ultra Boy, they're a couple, it seems.
They're
like,
a couple,
right.
It seems, as well. You do get Mon-El trying to figure out stuff. I need you, Eric. I'm relying on you. You have Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl. They do get a hold of them on like a vid. The problem is that at the point when it shows up, I thought that they were actually looking at older videos because it's Lightning Lass there. And I thought that she was looking at old videos and that possibly, Saturn Girl and Lightning Lad were missing at this point. But no, they are actually just off
retired,
and retired.
Raising their kids.
They have their kids. And as this goes on, you have a clock ticking down. You see Bouncing Boy. These things are just thrown in there out of nowhere and don't really end up doing duplicate
Polar
damsel.
Boy, I'm saying Polar Boy went to a party. Comic Queen's pissed off because she didn't go. So she then goes off to the party after Polar Boy comes back and passes out of the ground.
It's funny. He shows up with the classic with lipstick kisses all over him. And yeah, he falls asleep. You get, and it is, it's just a day in life. You have Brainiac 5, who's really trying to figure out things. He's fixing equipment, and he's so tired, he passes out. You get that.
It's a complete day in the life.
Oh, my
goddamn
gracious.
Day.
And then you end with what appears to be, Stonehenge, a type of Stonehenge deal where you have a thing where, hey, sunrise, it's time to shine. And
the winter solstice, the best day of the year and the best place for it. Yeah. Nothing but longer, brighter days to look forward to, friends to share with, and friends to share with them.
Holy moly.
Sunrise.
I just read this whole trade right before we started. I'm going through it as if I'm reading something I've never even seen in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you go, and then basically you have to realize the first four issues were that story with Renegade. That's pretty much done. You still have the Dominators behind the scenes. That's still going to come up. But the whole Renegade thing seems to be done. Then you had this little day in the life. And then to go on where we have two more issues in this trade. And it's basically a story happening on Earth. and pretty much going between our two new members, Chemical Kid and Dragonwing, mainly concentrating on Dragonwing, if you ask me. Because it deals with her family,
where she's come from, so we have a lot to deal with Dragonwing.
And I like here, this. I actually, these two issues I like because at least I have a set amount of, now we will jump back and forth at points, but I have some set characters where I've already learned a bit about them earlier, and I like that we're getting these, you know, a group of three. The first group is Chemical Kid, Element Lad, and Sun Boy. And up until now, I have enjoyed Sun Boy as well, though we haven't got a lot of them. And I just like Element Lad. He's pretty cool. But they are in the Sea of Fire in the Xinjiang region of Earth in the 31st century. And it's basically, it's like the Forge of Worlds, Eric. It is just a lava pit. It looks like all hell is broke loose.
With force fields around. Exactly, just in the middle of this goddamn lava ocean.
Yeah, and basically all you're going to get from all of this
Earth has seen better days, Jim.
Yeah, and what happened is they have these, like, I don't know, generators, these things that are protecting things, you know, lava deal, and one of them is broken down, and they go, and again, you have Element Lad use Chemical Kid to try to fix this, and he does.
You're the catalytic converters of the future.
Yes, and he does do this, but in the meantime, they realize that there's been a little sabotage as well. It wasn't just broken down. There was some sabotage. But listen, y'all,
it's a sabotage.
And then I'm telling you, you go back and then you get Dream Girl and Star Boy for a little. They're watching through monitors. They get a little sexy, but not too sexy. It seems as if Star Boy has been injured recently, Eric, and needs to rehabilitate. Whew. And then you go to what I think is the best part of the end, and maybe the best part of this whole trade, just because I can follow it the most. You go and see Dragonwing, who's kind of taking a little vacation. When they went back to Earth, she's from Earth, and she went to go see her sister, and she goes to see her sister. It's like a almost like a Blade Runner-esque cityscape. It looks pretty cool, even like a Fifth Element type deal. And she goes to her sister's apartment. She goes in, her sister's apartment's destroyed. Her sister's dog is there, and she wants to know what happened. There's a red dragon. She's trying to figure out what the heck happened, and goes and does a little detective work to figure this out, and ends up finding out that she's pretty much part of a cult.
It's so weird, too, because it seems like the dog that her sister has a letter to it, but then we see that the dog is Chameleon Boy.
Yeah, we find out later it's Chameleon Boy. It makes no sense. I don't know where at one point they switched up, because, dog was there, but then the wraparound twist is that it's Chameleon Boy at one point. You do have a little teeny bit with Mon-El, who's there, and he's pissed at all the shit that went down with Renegade. He ends up throwing a rock into space, and it's a weird deal that they point out that the destruction that the team had happened on this planet, it was 7.1 billion credits worth, but the police are going to pay for it. It's just so weird. It's so weird. And then they're talking about
It is a slower story where we deal with, like, you know, Chemical Kid and, like, you know, Dragon Wing, but it's still suffering from the same problems that we have so much story that we have to go back to. And it's like, you know, Dominators, Mon-El, and Brainy.
Well, and this is where they have that weird deal where they're trying to figure out what went on, and they realize that the soldiers that we were talking about earlier did have an imprinted deal by the Dominators, that they were mind controlled, but they're confused because there's no mind control that they know of that would happen from somebody like a Renegade. And he's like, no, it was Dominator deal. Then we go off to Dominator space, get a little bit. And to me, if you ever played Halo 2, it's very similar to that, where the Dominator goes back. He's like, hey, I fucked up. Hey, you're a disgrace. And they end up killing him and using his blood, which we find out later. This blood is used for the serum and also to make this new, you know, version of Dominators that's going to control the universe. But we really don't need to deal much with it, because we're not dealing with that at all in this volume.
No.
Now we go back to the most coherent story again, where it is Dragonwing, and she's trying to find her sister. And she goes, and eventually she does find her. She goes, you know, she ends up getting a couple clues. It goes right to it. Paul Levitz is not, either he doesn't have enough imagination to have something, or he just wants to go with it. But that's when you find out that is her sister's dog was now Chameleon Boy, because she's going to kill it. It turns out to be Chameleon Boy, and now the fight is on, and the family reunion gets crowded because you have all these other, you know, this cult going. Which then ends with the Phoenix, the, you know, Phoenix Rising, where you have this ancient Chinese, looking, you know, almost like a god, this Phoenix god going, and he's going to be the villain now.
And he's all about, you know, the he's Phoenix cool fire, of, you know, he's the Phoenix fire of China's rebirth. It's all about making China great again. And she's not going to have, they're not going to have Dragon Wing come in and fuck it all up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you just get a fight and it's going back and forth. Obviously Dragon Wing's sister there. So you have that. She's like, I've seen the future and you're not part of it. You get Dragon Wing, which up until now, like you have her power set. She can, you know, pretty much spit freaking
breathe fire and fire acid and venom wielding or some acid. Shit like that.
But it never, like, this is the first time that she really, really utilizes it. And it is pretty cool. But she ends up just being taken down and they end up going and they're actually going to kill her. And they end up saying, like, that her sister's like, no, no, let me do it. My blood and to go. And luckily that is the little bit of time that they need for the rest of the team to show up. It's just, I'm telling you, you go. And in the meantime, throughout this, you do have Brainiac 5 and Mon-El. They're flying back from Panoptis, in a spaceship. Brainiac 5 even says, why are you here and whatever? And I'm glad you let me drive because I'm better at the controls and I don't waste gas. And then that's when Mon-El finally is like, you know what? If you want to lead that bad, it's yours. Yeah, you can be the leader. But we're going to have an election. I don't know that I'll ever, until we do the second volume here, I don't know if I'm going to look. Is that something that intrigues you?
No.
Because I have a feeling that either they revote for Mon-El or in a turnabout, neither of them become it. Because you do, I think it'll be Shadowlass actually who ends up being the leader, but that's just my guess. But yeah, you go back to the Dominators. You go back to the Dominators, and now the Dominators are talking to Jabba the Hutt Dominator, who then, you know, hey, listen.
He's got the biggest ring on his forehead, Jim. He's got to be the leader.
He's huge. He might be a star boy, but yeah, he's there. Hey, listen, we have this new thing that we have going on. We're going to make this huge deal, and the Dominators will be the dominant force.
We have accelerated the clone universe, growth as much as we dare. These bloods have never been combined before. So I have to imagine it's probably like Daxamite blood and Dominator blood. So they make the ultimate warrior for the Dominators to take over the universe.
Yeah. And we go back to Earth then. And then you have, again, you have Element Lad, Chemical Kid, and Starboy. They're still at that, you know, I don't even know what you'd call it. They're there. It can't be. It's the thing that I thought was controlling the lava flow. But at this point now, the lava's getting so crazy, it's going to go into the city's force field. So the basic way that they solve the problem is for Sunboy to just blow up everything. He just goes nuclear and blows up the lava because it's cool enough. Chemical Kid, he's very impressed. He's like, I don't want to fuck with him ever. And I do like Sunboy. And yeah, he has the power to pretty much go. It's like a solar flare.
He's badass is what he is. It's like solar flare with none of the nonsense.
Yeah, I don't know what really happens. At one point, you see that the lava is entering the force field of one of these cities, but yet they just blow it up. They just blow it all up. And it basically say to, hey, Sunboy, you know what we're going to have to do? Just get rid of this whole fucking thing. Sterilize the area is what he says. Okay, I'll do it.
Done and
but boom. Holy moly. Well, then we go back. I'm telling you, we go back and
so
now
much.
We have, oh my goodness, we have Comet Queen, Harmonia, and Dream Girl that they get
just
word.
Just in case you were worried what happened to them.
Oh my God, they get word that, you know, Dragon Wing is in trouble. So they go and they're still fighting it out, but then they show up and I don't know what's going on, Eric. It's so crazy. You do find out that the problem that was happening with this lava and all with that was there was sabotage. They end up grabbing those guys and basically that stops that. But it looks like when this happened is what happened was Sunboy's explosion turned the lava into stone. I don't know. I really
he stopped the immediate problem though, Jim. EarthGov can send in a slow cleanup squad, and the science police can haul off these troublemakers. So done and done.
Yeah, and then we go. Tony, then we go back and you have Dragon Wing. She's about to die and the rest of those, they show up to fight. I guess it's Harmonious shows up and basically says, listen, you're the future. Well, we have kinship, distant kinship, and I'm embarrassed of you. You're how much you have fallen. They end up fighting. I'm telling you, the Phoenix, he gets controlled and captured in rock. Whew. And then you have the ending where Dragonwing then takes her sister out, goes and flies into her, takes her out, and then the science police show up to clean up the mess. And then at the end, you have Chameleon Kid, because he was taken down by this Phoenix, is very upset with himself.
It's time to get mopey with Chameleon Boy.
Yeah, and basically it ends with him like, you know what? He's kind of, looks like he's happy at one point, but then he's kind of embarrassed because he says, sometimes, you know, a bad day is enough to cost us as a Legionnaire. I was lucky today. And then he goes off. And later on in this series, you're going to have the Fatal Five and you're going to have things like that. Cool. But the problem is you have this first trade where at least I should be able to come off of this and know the characters and know and say to you, oh man, this is cool. Or I like this. My head is still spinning. You have so many different stories. I know that it is a huge team. The Legion of Superheroes is a huge team. Start small.
I know, and that's one of the things we complained about the Justice League, about how, you know, the Justice League book, the biggest problem is you don't have something for everyone to do. I think Paul Levitz is, you know, he bit off more than he could chew with this, because we have even more characters, and he's making sure that everyone has something to do, which just makes the story incomprehensible at times, because you keep jumping back and forth, and you're like, oh, shit, where did we just come from with this? I'm like, oh, God damn it.
You start off with Renegade. You have this little team, this little undercover
espionage
team.
There
you
go,
the espionage team. You end up having that. You deal with Renegade enough. Maybe they capture him. They end up then have, say, they go back to headquarters, and then you're introduced to Brainiac 5 and Mon-El, and maybe even Mon-El before. But even then,
because Mon-El shows up,
and then say, you know what? This is weird, Renegade. Maybe we should go to Daxam and figure it out. So now you can, send them. Now have them go. Have it so that you're not jumping back and forth. You can still have the basis of what you had, but this jumping back and forth just killed me, because then they
it
could
gets
go.
Tedious.
Then they go to Daxam, figure out, oh, you know what? We had this guy Renegade. We didn't know he was gone, but boy, he was really into fucking Dominator. So then you go from there to try to figure out, then go and have a couple more guys. Just build the team as it goes.
We have the characters at the Legion Command. We have the characters at Panoptis. We have the characters at Daxam. And then we have, you know, the Dominators deal with, where Chameleon Boy's hanging. I'm like, fuck you. Don't do this to me.
Then you have Phoenix Rising. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere in the one issue, Bouncing Boy just is in there. Then you have Colossal Boy, who is there one time.
That's my favorite issue in the series so far.
So weird. And even I didn't know. I couldn't describe it. It was just each character talking to each other about
stuff. They're just doing something. I'm telling you. Shrinking Violet, she was doing her,
Shrinking Violet.
She was doing her treadmill running, and Lightning Lass was pissed off because she wanted to sleep.
Yeah, because she wanted to sleep.
I could deal with that.
Yeah, and then she went, whoop, 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 whoop. She emo-chucked up and turned off a light and then went down again. But yeah, I'm telling you, though, you start with – it's so weird. You start with that one little team. You have four or five of these Legionnaires. You find out that Chemical Kid and Dragonwing are new recruits, so they don't even have rings. And spell that out. Like, man, we're on a mission and we don't even have a ring yet. We're going to give you the ring in a minute. Whatever. Then from there they go. Then you introduce, Brainiac 5 and Mon-El. Then they go for a half an issue. Just add them as you go, and add them in a way where in the story they're needed. So, oh my God, we need Polar Boy. He shows up because they're there, whatever. These characters just show up out of nowhere, and there are points where you jump back. I'm telling you, when you keep jumping back to Starboy and Dream Girl, goodness gracious, there is no reason that you even need to see these scenes. They're just sitting there. The one they're just sitting there, and Starboy's like, hey, you know what? Dream Girl, you need to do your exercises. I have an exercise I'd like. No, you're going to have to do these alone. Smooch, and then go. I'm like, an invitation to masturbation, or why did we need this? Why did we need that scene? And it just ends up interrupting. The flow is so off. And I told you, I looked it up, and in that first issue, there are 31 characters introduced.
Crazy.
It gets worse. By the time we have that Day in the Life, that Day in the Life issue, issue number 4, there might be another 20 to 30 characters introduced in that issue, where now we have a cast of over 50 to 60 characters in this book. And yeah, you get the placard each time, but I don't, it never gave me enough of anybody but, say, Dragonwing. But even that, I don't know when she became, like, one of the biggest things is becoming a Legionnaire. Yeah. And to me, it would be like you have the Green Lantern books, and all of a sudden you have a core book, and you have all these recruits and things like that. Usually, you go back to see at least a panel of how they got their ring. This is never...
They got their ring, and now they have to train, so they don't have the lantern on their, on their chest, so you know that they're rookies.
Yeah, so you know they're rookies. You know, and then eventually through their training, you find out what they are, how they got their ring, and why, and what. This is just a placard that tells me a homeworld, abilities, and a name, and it just doesn't
hit. That's the best, too. These futuristic alien names show that, okay, we have, you know, we have their, like, their code name, and then they have their real name, which is just consonants thrown together, it seems like. Homeworld, I'm like, okay, that's more gobbledygook, and then powers. Yeah. Okay, all I need is code name and powers. Move on.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, here. It's the first one. Comet Queen, aka Grava, Homeworld, Extol Colony, Abilities, Spaceflight, Comet Gas Extrusion.
Oh, Comet Gas Extrusion.
Comet Gas Extrusion. And you like extruding things, Eric. But
I have been known to extrude things.
But yeah, just that. It's just, it all boils down to that if you are a fan of the Legion, then, you know, all the power to you. You'll know more than we would ever know going in. But to truly enjoy this volume, I do believe that you're going to have to go back at least another volume. And this is in the history of, I forgot to mention that in the beginning, in the history of the Legion of Superheroes, this is volume 7 of all the, you know, the history. You're going to have to at least go back that volume before that led into this and at least read that to see what's going on. Because there are times when people in this book are just sitting there and like, I wonder what happened to old Eric Shea. And you're just led to, you're not even given anything. They don't even, and there's not even enough editor's notes. Now, if there were, the book would probably be filled with them. The weirdest thing, though, is there's one point where they're like, oh, man, remember when the Legion, when the Daxamites were taken over and that caused that universal problem? And there's an asterisk that is never spelled
out. Followed up by an editor's note.
And so, of course, I go back, and Daxam's been involved in a lot of craziness. Later on, they say, as an aside, yeah, we were real embarrassed in our history when Darkseid kind of, you know, dealt with us. I'm like, okay.
I have to imagine it's the final crisis.
That's what I thought as well. But they were, Daxam was big in the invasion. I mean, it had a lot of crazy stuff. And with the Dominators being in here, it seems like that, it's just so crazy. But yeah, what would you give it?
Well, the thing is, I love the art in this whole thing.
The art's great.
The thing is, my favorite issue, The Day in the Life of, I love that story.
Walter Simonson.
The art has gone down for that one, like that replacement artist for that one issue.
And that was where
issue.
He came in,
so it's a double-edged sword is what I got, because the rest of the story, I want to like the Legion. We got these cool ideas for these future characters. It was too much, too fast, but the art was amazing. So I'm telling you, it was a head-spinning goddamn read is what it was, because it's too much. So I'd have to give it like a 4.5 out of 10.
Yeah, it's funny for me is I love the art, but I can't even go with liking the art and giving it more because, unfortunately, it didn't help my confusion throughout the whole thing. I mean, this is, I'll tell you, this might be the worst episode we've ever did because I read this through 3 times. Because the first time I was, my head was spinning. Then the second time I kind of, okay, I'm grasping it a little. And then we had to record today. I'm like, I can't go into this. I have to read it. I ended up reading it and got a hold of you. And we had planned to do this hours from where we're recording now. The problem being is when I got done reading it the third time, the iron was hot, Eric. Yeah. I got a hold of you. That's why I messaged Eric and said, whenever you're ready, I'm good. Because I knew that if I took an hour and a half, I'd be even worse. And probably would have had to have read it again. It is just, I hope that most people who listen to us realize that for the most part, we're dummies, but we're not dummies. That at least we kind of know what we read. So it's easy for us to try to explain it and try to talk about it. That's how crazy this is. It is, and it's weird because I wanna take points off because Paul Levitz didn't write this as a stepping on point, a jumping on point for people. But the thing is, That's not how it was spelled out to him. He was the writer of the thing. He's not a new writer here. He wrote the last issue of the last series that went into this. So he is just, it's, you know, business as usual. For him, apparently. This would have been, if there was no New 52, this would have been Adventure Comics number 530, it seems. So he is just writing what's going on, so I can't do that. But because of what the New 52 was and what I wanted it to be and what it was too, and still, there are books that introduce characters to a new crowd, yet still get the old, you know, people who have been reading enjoy it as well. And this is not it. This is the worst example of anything I've ever seen of trying to get new people involved while still maintaining an old continuity and letting your old readers go forward. I said it at the beginning. I guess I don't know. Like a reboot, it didn't have to be a reboot. You could have had this whole thing continuing. Just make it that the Legion in the future, something happened in there, like Brainiac 5 is trying to figure out, but make it so that you have to introduce things to the new readers.
Yeah.
And it's just,
you got to make it accessible.
It was not accessible.
So you can't just throw a number one on it and continue where you left off and say, it's accessible now. No, you got to do a bit more explaining there, Paul Levitz.
3 out of 10, Eric. 3 out of 10. And
imagine, too, the whole idea? Nobody knows what a Legionnaire is. The 31st century has no idea. You're just thrown right in the goddamn middle of it and expected to fucking go for all these alien races and powers.
And now I'm mad because I actually see a lot of people. And again, maybe they'll be onto something, but they're like, oh, why don't we have a Legion of Superheroes book? There was a guy on Twitter that I didn't get in an argument with, but he was mad because they had they have Scooby Apocalypse and not a Legion of Superheroes book. And then I was like, they're not the same thing. But now after reading this, I don't know, you know, if you're going to do it. I think one of the biggest problems that they'll have if they end up, I think eventually they'll have a book, but to figure out how they're going to play this out.
Especially now with Saturn Girl in the present day. I don't know where this story goes, if there is some kind of reboot timeline catches up. But that seemed like a younger Saturn Girl who went back in time to freaking reach Superman. So I have no idea what they're playing at.
I mean, maybe the whole deal will have to be that you wait until after this whole stuff with the Doomsday Clock. And not that I know how that ends, but when you find out those missing years and find out this and that, where you'll end up having the Legion book, now they can contact that, you know, you have all this stuff, maybe you can have a fresh start. But really, at this point, this is like a book that I just don't know how it's ever going to be able to be done that would be accessible to a large audience enough to keep it going. Because, and this lasted, it with the zero issue, it lasted to number 23, so there were 24 issues. That's 4 trades of this. And it just, I saw the reviews. They are not good. And people bailed on this book to the point where the last like 10 to 15 issues, there's like 2 or 3 people reviewing it. And they just, you know, and they didn't like it. So I can only give it a 3 out of 10. It's just, I apologize for confusing people. And I'm still confused.
Paul Levitz should apologize.
I need a nap. I need a nap, Eric. But I will tell you that the next episode that we have, we're going to be back on more solid ground, at least something that me and you have read before and enjoyed. I'll tell you right now, when people hear what it is, they're going to be very excited because it's a book that we mentioned how we love it a lot. Eric Shea was not exactly a full-out fan of this first arc of it, so we're going to see how it holds up. But it's Batman and Robin, Volume 1, Born to Kill. Obviously, it's Damian and Bruce, and you have all that. It is one of the first books that Eric read of the New 52, actually got me to read it then. Once it started picking up, Eric was telling me how great a book it was, and he went into this as a non-Damian fan. And by the end of this, Batman and Robin in the New 52, one of our favorite characters.
So love it's that really little Damian, cool. My little pumpkin-headed Damian, Jim.
It's really awesome. So we're gonna do that next. And I'll just mention quick, if you want to go to our Patreon account, we have a Patreon account at patreon.com/weirdscience, where we have a couple episodes ahead of this new 52 podcast. So if you're listening to this on the regular feed when it comes out, you can go already and probably at that point listen to Batman and Robin. I don't know. It's 8 issues that make up that trade. And because we like it God so damn. Much, I don't know if we're going to do it in 2 parts or 1. We'll see. But some of the ones coming down the line are Batman and Robin, Suicide Squad, Demon Knights, and Batgirl are the next ones involved. Those are all pretty cool. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward a lot to Demon Knights.
So am I.
Is the one I kind of really want. And even Suicide Squad, you had a lot of fun with that. You told me this week, you kept saying like, listen, I'm not going to say it's a great book, but no. I had a lot of fun with it. So I want that because this Legion, it really threw me off. I'm going to be miserable all day now because of this. But that is the end of the New 52 Review Podcast. Eric, what do we say at the end of this?
That was the New 52, and now we're through.